And joining us now from the Wasp Museum in Sweetwater, Texas, is their executive director, Dr. Rachel McLean. Good to have you here at AirVenture. This is your first time here?
My very first time, yes.
And you came the most expedient route you could.
100%, yes. Yeah. Truck and trailer across a major road trip.
From Sweetwater, Texas to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, bringing some exhibit materials for the Wasp Museum?
We did. We brought our, what we call our mobile museum. So it's just a whiff of our museum. So it just gives people a little insight as to what the museum looks like and got some good information out there. But we brought a couple of planes with us. We got some reenactors with us. So it's a full experience over on Boeing Plaza.
Good. And that's where you are? You're not in the exhibit buildings?
We have a women's venture. We have an exhibit in women's venture. And so people can join there and find all kinds of information and goodies if they're interested in some Wasp or Fifanella goodies. And and then over at Boeing, we've got our mobile museum and the planes and our reenactors.
Excellent, excellent. Andrea McGillivray is one of the pilots from the museum, and you flew the BT-13, which is actually a museum asset. You flew it up here. How was your flight in?
The flight itself was great. I had a tailwind, but I have one of those lucky things. I always have tailwinds. Some people have headwinds. The flight itself was good. We had a storm behind us, so I took off and headed north and kept the sky blue. Did three stops with no issues. And then they gave me my bird, warbird arrival straight in with a quartering tailwind.
Okay.
But still behaved itself, and it was a good flight.
Good. Any problems with the weather, with the smoke that we've had?
No, I came in Friday, so I missed it.
Good. What was your favorite part of the trip?
I was at 7,500, and there were storms, and I could see where they were, and it was cool, and it was just beautiful. I got some pictures. I mean, when you get to see the puffy clouds up high like that, it's like you're in dream world.
Good. How did you get involved with the Wasp Museum?
About five-ish years ago, I flew through there, and I brought my home a new airplane for myself, and the weather pushed me, so I stopped there. And so then I got to meet Lisa, and she asked me if I'd fly for them, but I was busy. So about a year and a half ago, I said, yes, I'd like to come and join you guys. I do more tailwheel flying than I do nose dragon flying.
Very good. That's awesome.
So that's kind of the reason. And I also knew a Wasp, and they didn't have much information about her, so I gathered it and brought it, and I'm very honored to be part of this.
Yes. I was going to ask if you had a Wasp connection. Who was the Wasp that you knew?
Rosalie Meek, but I didn't know her previous name. She was married a couple times. Okay. Fulton was the name, and then once we found that out, then they had a little bit. But I brought all her logbooks and scrapbooks and stuff, like about six boxes, including her wings, and the family has interesting history there. But I got it all up at the museum, and it was an outing for the 99s. We had two flyouts there, and it was. I got to know her a little bit. I wish I had the record button on. I just wasn't smart enough to do that.
Yeah. And when you're flying, do you think of her? Like on your cross country when things are just sort of humming along?
To be honest, in these old warbirds, it sounds strange, but I feel so at home. I mean, I'm just sitting there as if I'm sitting in my easy chair at home. That's how comfortable I feel in them. And I don't know about meeting with her, but I feel that there is a spirit kind of that follows you along with them, that there are others that kind of follow you with you and are your guardian angels.
Rachel, with the museum itself, are there some favorite artifacts that you have? I mean, aside from the airplanes, of course.
No, the airplanes are the best. I think my favorite now is we just built this last spring, and it's a duty base exhibit. Mm-hmm. So it shows what the ladies did and where they went after their training there at Avenger. But we have a tow target hanging above the duty base, so from the ceiling. And I think it really, you know, we can always say, well, you know, part of their job was towing targets and having live ammunition fired at them. But to see like the little marking where the bullet had struck the tow target, you know, even kids, adults, they're like, wait, that's what they did, you know. And so it really brings it home. And so I really do love that exhibit. But obviously the planes, those are our favorite. We have a World War II Jeep that a lot of people get a little interested in as well. I do like to drive our Jeep around, so we take it to parades and all kinds of fun things like that. So I drive a Jeep, a new Jeep. And so when I'm in that World War II Jeep, I can feel it too.
The lineage of the brand.
Of the brand, there you go. Yes.
With the Wasp Museum, you also have access to a lot of oral histories from some of the original Wasp.
Yes.
What's that like to listen to?
Oh, goodness. I often just sit and listen to various oral histories because I didn't have the opportunity to connect with wasp. There's only one remaining wasp alive. I've got to meet her. But as far as like this, you know, the huge number and just to be able to listen to those ladies and to share their stories and their process of learning how to fly, mm-hmm. you know, when I listen to that, I'm like, this is insane. Of course, then Andrea comes and tells me the stories of her aerobatics experiences, and I'll be like, this is also insane. And so, but I love the oral histories. Also love reading their letters home, and their, you know, some of them kept diaries, right. and just to hear their voice coming through that. You know, they were all passionate about flying. Obviously, they pushed so hard to, you know, break those barriers that were there, but their passion for flying, and then, you know, to learn, hear what they did after the WASP disbanded. You know, they still were barrier breaking women in a lot of different ways. The first, you know, stockbroker in a state, or a postmaster in a, you know, a large city, and it's just still running their, you know, family company, those kind of things. And so they're still just women that you can tell they just didn't take no for an answer.
Right. And really reshaped a portion of our World War II history. And it just over 1,000 WASP that graduated from the program, but they had a huge impact.
Huge impact. So 60 million miles over a couple of years that they flew every type of aircraft in the Army Air Force arsenal at that time, really did free up men mm-hmm. to go to combat in a time that we needed, you know, a lot of men in those two arenas. And so it really did play a huge role. And then just as it disbanded and, you know, they were trying to get back into aviation mm-hmm. and, you know, commercial careers and those type of things, it's just as not disheartening, but you can hear, you know, the frustration, and you think, well, they did break those barriers, and then it took a little while longer for that glass ceiling to fully crack. Yeah.
They kind of got put back into the mold
that
was traditional
people were
at the
comfortable
time.
With right. at the time. And you know, you completely understand that. It was a different era. But when I get to talk to that next generation of women military aviators, and, you know, have what I call dear friends that have carried on that legacy, they're standing on the shoulders of the WASP, and to hear that kind of that concrete block wall that's being built mm-hmm. for women to be able to achieve what they want to. We're working with a young girl, she's volunteering, a couple of young girls actually, one's in college and one's in high school, that's volunteering with us this week. And I just look at those young ladies and think, you know, these they're able to do and access resources and opportunities that without the WASP and proving that women could do this, and then those next generations, you know, it's not an issue for them. They can access what they want to. Yeah.
And you've mentioned next generations, women in military aviation.
Yes.
You also have a very close bond and partnership with them.
We do. We actually captured some of their oral histories in spring of this year. We're really wanting to continue that narrative at the museum so that people can see this isn't just a part of history
right.
that is a legacy, mm-hmm. and we want to be able to communicate that legacy all the way through to current aviators. So young girls, when they come, boys and girls, come to the museum, they can see these opportunities and what has gone before, so they can really envision what their future could look like.
Yeah. Women in military aviation, is that a relatively new group?
No.
No?
The WMA, I mean, I think they've been...
they've been around a long time.
Yeah, they've been around a long time. And
the
if you're at women's, yeah, the
yeah,
99,
well, oh,
for
yes.
sure, the 99s. If you're at Women's Venture, you know, WMA's mm-hmm. got a booth right next to us, so we're able to have that partnership there and visit with them again, and it's just a good partnership.
Good. Yeah. Coming up in April, we have homecoming in Sweetwater.
We do. Third weekend in April, so 2027, we're going to have a fly-in. But in 2028, this is the plan, so we want to have kind of a dry run to a major air show in 2029. So that's the 100-year anniversary mm-hmm. of Avenger. We want to have a centennial celebration. You know, Avenger has great history. It's not just the WASP.
Right.
The British Air Force trained there. You know, several other significant historical events that happen. But we want to celebrate that, but we really want to celebrate women in military aviation. And so we're looking forward to 2029, but we're going to take those steps to build to that
sure.
over the next 3 years. Yes.
Andrea, when you're flying the BT or the T-6, is one or the other your favorite?
I don't actually have a favorite. I hate to say this. Like I say, I feel at home in them. The AT6 is faster.
Yes.
Okay. But speed's not everything. So it's just they handle quite about the same. You know, the BT's a little easier. The gear is a little wider. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you that. It's not that easy to say.
Well, and Rachel, in your research, you said many of the WASP, when they were flying at Avenger, thought the AT6 was their favorite.
Absolutely, yes. Their favorite. They would say it felt like an extension of their arms, you know. But the BT, they have some funny stories about that with, it vibrates when it's...
No, it doesn't. Ours doesn't.
Ours doesn't.
Ours doesn't. Ours
is very taken out.
Back in the day.
Back in the day,
they
yeah.
vibrated. Yeah. And so, we have a letter that a WASP wrote home where it was vibrating so bad it chipped her fill-in and she had to go to the dentist there in Sweetwater. So the first time that I rode in the BT, I was all like set for, okay, this is how it's going to feel. But Andrea's right.
It doesn't. not even a stall or nothing like that. No.
Really?
No,
okay.
No. I fly some other higher performance, so I guess when it comes to extensions, I mean, yes, the AT6 is a little bit more nimble, mm-hmm. but they're both really fun to fly.
Good. Is there a plan to bring any other aircraft into the museum fleet?
We have four of them.
Right. We have four of the mm-hmm. five that the ladies trained on, so we do not have a Fairchild in the fleet.
But we're working on it.
But we are working on it.
Anybody that has PT-19 parts and would like to donate, just let us know.
Okay.
And then we... obviously we'd like to have a Fairchild that had flown at
yes,
Avenger.
Yes. We're working on that. We're actually actively working on putting one of those together.
Very good. Where can folks find you again here on site?
So we are
right behind the B-17, on that Boeing
Plaza.
Yeah,
the B-17. Okay. So we're actually on both sides of the B-17. And so we've got the connection stories between the WASP and the B-17, and we've got the connection stories between the WASP and the B-29.
Okay.
And so we have our mobile museum that's on one side, and then the two planes are flanking either side of the tail of the B-17.
Very good. Well, enjoy your week here. Thank you for taking some time out to talk with us. Talking with Dr. Rachel McLean, who's the executive director of the WASP Museum in Sweetwater, Texas, and Andrea McGillivray, who was the pilot who flew the BT-13 in. Ladies, thank you for being a part of our show this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night. Good morning.
This is From the Stand on EIA Radio.